had sort of a moral message, because after all, parents need a father, they need a moral message, they need somebody who tells them what's right and wrong. And of course, the mother was, certainly wanted to apologize for the children, didn't want to damage their psyche, didn't want to discipline them, wanted to let them really do what they wanted to do. And of course, one of the great problems of today is the fact that children are not disciplined in the home. One of the very wise men that taught me a great deal of what I know told me one time that you never have to teach a child how to be bad. Children are inherently bad. You have to teach them how to be good, how to be considerate, how to be generous, how not to be stingy like Stingy Bear. Well, of course, what Ed has done with his book is put together some 52 stories that are aimed at giving moral messages through the background of Stingy Bear. And, of course, Stingy Bear lives in a bear society with Mama Bear and Papa Bear, and of course, they are parodies of human beings and parodies of a human society. They live in this bear community, and of course everything there is just like a human community, with the same problems that we face and the same, you know, temptations we all have. And of course Father Bear is a disciplinarian, Mother Bear is she's just so concerned about the psyche of the little children. And, of course, in this instance, Stingy Bear. So, Ed, with that as a background, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me this afternoon, Dr. Stan. I really appreciate you providing me with the opportunity to present Stingy Bear to your listening audience.
Well, why don't you pick up on the story, and you fill in where I left the gaps out.
Okay, well, you did an excellent job of explaining why a mechanical engineer with three children is writing a book about a society of talking bears. You know, there were a variety of reasons why I wrote a book about bears. One thing was I felt that young people pay more attention to stories about animals than what they pay attention to stories about human beings. And also in my book, I wanted to address a lot of social and political issues that affect everybody in our society. And I felt that by writing about a homogenous society of talking bears, people, the readers, wouldn't feel, of any ethnicity, would not feel left out of the situations that are described in the Stingy Bear stories. And also, I wanted to plant the seeds of thought into young children of some of the issues that they need to think about as they grow up. And so I wrote about Stingy Bear to serve as an example of how not to behave so that others might learn.
And I think, of course, you really accomplished that, because, of course, Stingy Bear is just such an impossible individual, an impossible human. Here, it's parody on human beings. Of course, he's a bear, but you look upon him as a human being because, you know, that's really what you're talking about. And the selfishness that is inherent in him, and the manipulation, and how he tries to just center everything on himself. And you certainly don't want to identify with Stingy Bear, and of course that's the message you're really trying to get through to your children, isn't it? You don't want to be like Stingy Bear.
No, they definitely don't want to be like Stingy Bear, and I try to make the young readers realize that Stingy Bear has yet to learn the life lesson that it is in the giving that we receive.
Very well said. Well, we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll be going through the anthology of Stingy Bear's adventures. And he has lots of adventures. And of course, like most young people growing up, he certainly has certainly a tendency to get himself from, you know, problem to problem to problem. And of course, how will these be solved? We'll be back in just a moment here with Ed.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Ed Weisnot, and we're going to be talking about the Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. And this is simply a group of 52 stories centering around a bear. And, of course, the bear is a parody on what is happening in our society today. And, of course, this idea that you shouldn't spank children, you shouldn't discipline children. If you do, the Child Protection Agency is going to come. It has created more problems for more young people because, you know, they have no discipline. And then when they get out in the real world and they commit a crime, whether it be vandalism or stealing something, and then suddenly they're thrown into prison. And the reason they're thrown into prison is because they were never disciplined growing up. Do you realize that in the United States today, per 100,000 people, we have more people in prison than even communist China per 100,000 people that they have? And why is that? Because every other country advocates punishing children and bringing them up in the way of the Lord. And, of course, there are other things that we're doing to the minds of our people as well that would actually encourage criminal activity. But certainly you're going to lay a lot of this and prevent a lot of this by, certainly using the rod as we're told in the Bible. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You cannot have children are brought up without discipline and expect to have an orderly society. And children who are disciplined will be able to discipline themselves. You have to learn how to be self-disciplined before you can function in society. So pick the story up there, Ed.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up, Dr. Stan. One of the things I try to bring out in the book is that a young stingy bear sees the world a certain way and is rapidly finding out in a very difficult manner that the way he sees the world and the way that it is are two different scenarios. And that so often when he engages in certain behaviors, those behaviors have consequences, sometimes of which are spanking from his father or the grade school principal. And so one of the things I try to bring out to the kids that is the idea that there are consequences for your actions, and one needs to take responsibility for what they do. Another thing I try to bring out in this book is I try to project a strong father image. So often in contemporary children's literature, the fathers are portrayed in a very, very poor light, i.e., not too bright, lazy, irresponsible, not the least bit motivated. And often the mother, the children, even the family dog are projected as being much more intelligent and motivated than the father. And it was my reluctance to just be quiet and take this that prompted me to write a book that portrayed the father in a positive image, because I was tired of taking my kids to the bookstore and telling them, no, Daddy will not buy this book or that book, and here's why. So I'm trying to convey quite a few social messages in this book, and also I try to introduce quite a few vocabulary words in the book. I could have written the book in a much more watered-down vocabulary, but I wanted to challenge the young minds upwardly by introducing them to a new vocabulary, making them use a dictionary once in a while. So there's a lot of redeeming qualities to the Stingy Bear book.
Well, I think one of the interesting things, you're absolutely right, one only has to watch our television to see how, of course, the man is usually is sort of an inadequate individual, and he's sort of foolish and simpleton, and this is what they're trying to protect. They're trying to remove the masculinity from our people, and from our males. They know exactly what they're doing. Many times the woman is positive, but the man is indecisive. And, of course, you know, at one time, you know, we had men who were men. Somebody once said we had men with hair on their chest, but that's no longer the case. In fact, if you saw the Super Bowl ad or the Snickers bar, why it was sort of degrading men who have hair on their chest. But what they're doing, really, of course, is destroying the very fabric of society. You need a strong mother. You need a passionate mother. But there has to be discipline, and the children have to be subservient to authority. Because they would be subservient to authority in the family. They would be subservient to authority in the church. They would be subservient to authority within the community. And that way they would not be breaking the laws. And what a tragedy it is when you have a great nation like America with almost two-thirds of 1% rapidly approaching 1% of our population, either in prison, probation, or parole. Today, one of every three young black men is in prison, probation, and parole. And when you figure we have about 2,100,000 people in prison, and you probably got an equal number on probation or parole, you see what a problem we have when people forget the admonitions of the Bible and spare the rod and spoil the child, and forget the biblical model of father, masculine father, and mother, feminine mother, and then the family. They're doing everything they can to destroy our family. Half of the children in this country are living in a family without a father in it. 75% of black children are born into a family where there's no father, and 25% of white children, and the Hispanics are somewhere in between. This did not happen by accident. It happened by intent. And, of course, Ed is really trying to point out the importance of resuming the traditional family structure. Would that be a fair assumption, Ed?
Oh, very, very accurate assessment. Yes, sir. And one of the things I try to point out in the book is that we live in a time when we're undergoing a radical change in our national character and our social structure. And I try to bring forth the idea in the book that this society the bears live in is becoming increasingly more totalitarian, and that the citizens need to pay more attention to what's going on so that they don't relinquish their cherished freedoms for a false promise of security.
And, of course, what they really want, of course, is moral anarchy. What they really want is liberty without responsibility, a liberty without discipline. And, of course, you cannot have liberty unless you are answerable to God and you govern yourself. You govern yourself. You don't let society govern you, but you govern yourself according to God's laws.
Yes.
The idea of unrestrained liberty leads to moral anarchy, and when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. And people point to all the gun crimes and they say, well, what we need is to take the guns away from the people, just so the police and the military will have guns. What you're seeing is a move towards a totalitarian state in America. Those of you who haven't seen the latest census that is being sent out to people, they come to your home and they tell you if you don't fill out the form, why, you become immediately a criminal, this is the law. They want to know your religion. They want to know how many people live in the house. They want to know when you go to work in the morning, at what time you come home at night. Gee, do you know a better way so that they can come into your house and start examining the things you have, knowing you're not going to be there? I mean, the most intrusive types of questions, you see, but they're collecting databases on every individual in this country, and they have the amazing capacity to store all of that information. So that they will, when you, of course, are come under suspicion, they will know everything about you. You'll have no secrets. And they're able to listen to you every place you go, in the house if you have telephones there, because there are microphones in them that will pick up what you say, even if they're hung up. The same thing is true with your cell phones. Your cell phones, you don't have a switch in them. And from satellite, from 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 miles away, somebody can flip that switch. And even though you have your cell phone turned off, they can listen to your conversations. Understand, when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. And they're already planning on the dictatorship. We've got to get back to the standards that Ed's talking about in his book, the anthology of Cincy Bear's adventures, and the lessons that he's trying to teach. Well, what are some of the other lessons that you're trying to put over, Ed?
Well, there's quite a few issues that I address in the book, and again, I appreciate the fact that my primary target was adolescent readers. Some of the issues that I address are as the topic of gun control. And as I pointed out in the book, Father Bear said, gun control is hitting your target with the first shot. And another issue that I address in the book is the issue of our fiat money system and the importance of considering investments in numismatic coins as well as gold and silver bullion. And another issue that I bring out in this book is how they have a Department of Bearland Security whose officious bureau bears are working tirelessly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to formulate new administrative policies to protect the beloved bearland from the dreaded bearerists. And so much of the book is written about the actions of the bearerists in this society, or the actions of the citizens to the bearerists in this society. The bearerists actually haven't done anything in the society, but yet so many people within the society are afraid of them. Another issue that I bring out in the book is the issue of emergency preparedness. In one of the stories, they have an electrical power failure. And again, I describe how Father Bear takes care of the family, tends to the domestic duties during a time when there's a power outage in the community. There's a lot of different topics in this book that plant the seeds of thought into people. When I wrote this book, I wasn't worried about offending liberals, and I wasn't worried about offending feminists. However, because I wanted to market this book to people who homeschool, I was very, very deeply concerned about not offending the Christian people.
Well, I think, of course, that if you love your children, you're not going to send them to government schools. Because their purpose is not to educate, it's to indoctrinate. And, of course, what they're trying to do is destroy their faith in God. That is the purpose of education today, destroy the faith in God. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Genesis. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest today is Ed Wisenut, and we're talking about his book, The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. And it's basically a means of calling our attention to the important things in life. But, of course, the most important thing is that we are governed by God. We don't make up the rules. How often I have people calling in and saying, well, see, I don't like this, or I don't like that rule, or, you know, but it was sort of William Penn who said, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And it's either the Bible or the bayonet, somebody else said. And if we don't have an orderly society, then we're going to see armed troops going door to door, arresting people and putting them into concentration camps. And if you don't think that can happen here in America, Just ask yourself why they're refurbishing those Japanese concentration camps with $38 million, and why they're doing it at this time in history, and why they passed the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act, the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, and which gives the president the ability to declare martial law in America, and why they gave Halliburton $385 million to build new concentration camps in America when they already had so many of the old army camps all prepared for massive deployment of civilian internees. We even have the information, the government information on how to treat those civilian internees, which you'll get if you order any of the material on our concentration camps or concentration camp specials or the Military Commission Act, a four-tape set or four-CD set. All of this information is readily available from Radio Liberty. You need to get it, but before that, you have to understand how we got into the mess we did. And we got into the mess where we are today because we forgot the simple admonitions of the Bible. Fear God and keep His commandments. And this is really sort of a lot of what you have here in your book, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You mentioned the public school system here a few minutes ago, and a large part of my book deals with the treatment of students in the public school system. One of the reasons why I'm hoping to market this book to the Homeschool Network is because so many of the reasons why adults pull their kids out of public schools is for situations and attitudes that are similar to what I describe in the anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures. For example, in one of the stories, I write a situation where Father Bear's called in to visit with the school principal, and the school principal suggests putting young Solomon von Brueckmeister on the medication Rid-A-Sin, not to be confused with a certain other medication that might be in widespread use today. And Father Bear is just appalled that the school administration is suggesting that his son be given the medication Rid-A-Sin. Father Bear says, I will not enrich the pharmaceutical executives at the expense of my son's cognitive functioning. He said, the public schools of today teach kids what to think, not how to think. They need to focus more on the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so a lot of the stories in the Stingy Bear book deal with the treatment of students, particularly male students, in the public school system. And I was real glad that you brought that up about the school system.
Well, I think it's so vitally important. And of course, in your school, why the principal does paddle the children, and certainly then they go home and they get paddled, and they know when they've done something wrong, they can expect to be punished for it. That is not true today. It may be true in the Christian schools and the private schools, where they have permission to punish the children, and they rightly should have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not true in the public schools. You cannot punish the children, you know, or really do much of anything to them when they get out of line, other than, you know, send them out of school or keep them after school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there has to be a certain element of fear to gain the respect of the person in a position of authority is going to have the respect of that child. And when you take away from the principal and from the teachers the right to discipline the students, then, of course, you create a situation where soon there will be the moral anarchy that we see in our classrooms and in every aspect of our society today. So, you know, certainly I applaud this. Now, the thing is that I think that parents have to understand that the only way they're either going to keep their child disciplined is either by keeping that child home and out of the system, or by putting them into a Christian school where they really believe that admonition that to spare the rod is to spoil the child. Well, when we get back here, why, of course, we'll tell you how you can get hold of the book and how you can get hold of Ed's material. I think it's well worthwhile. This is a philosophical book, but it's really about a parody of what's happening to our children today.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard to find all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Ed and Wisnoth, and we're talking about his book, The Anthology of Singe Bear's Adventures. How can people get your book, Ed?
Well, there's a couple of ways. For the listeners who have Internet access, they can go to the website www.stingybear.com. Stingy Bear is all one word, all lowercase letters. Stingybear.com. And for the listeners out there who may not have Internet access or feel comfortable with ordering over the Internet, they could go to a Barnes & Noble bookstore, and they can order the book from Barnes & Noble.
All right, fine. And now, what will they find on your website? Will they find any commentaries at all, or they just find how to order the book?
No. What they'll find on my website is, first off, how to order the book. They'll have it'll have a brief bit of information about me. It has a little bit of information about the book, how it's suitable for readers from ages 10 to 110. And also, the website also has the start of one of the 52 stories in the book called Bearport Security. And in that particular story, Stingy Bear has a rather unfortunate experience at Bruindale International Bearport, where he first has his encounter with the Department of Bearland Security. So that Internet website will tell you a little bit about the book and me. If someone wants to get a review of the book, I've noticed that one gentleman has already put a review of the book on Amazon.com. Amazon.com is a website that allows people with internet access to write their own book reviews. So there is one review right now on Amazon.com. Click on books, do a search for Stingy Bear, and you'll get a book review.
All right, fine. Well, certainly, what sort of response have you gotten from people who've read the book?
Well, I'm finding out that feminists and liberals definitely have a distaste for the book.
Well, that means it must be good.
Yes, and also I've had some comments, oh, there's far too much spanking in the book. And my reply to that is, well, first off, Father Bear never spanks his son with any implements. Father Bear always lets his son know why he's being spanked. And as you pointed out, there's so many times in this book when Stingy Bear needs a few good swats on his posterior.
All right, for certainty, I agree with that. But if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, remember our number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. But we have a real problem in America today because we've turned our back on logic. We live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us that are sane, and everybody else says we're crazy. Here in California, why the legislature, the liberal legislature, wants to pass legislation that will make it illegal to spank your child. Oh, my goodness, we can't spank children. We can't discipline children. We might hurt their little psyches. Well, let me tell you, they're going to be a lot more hurt when they end up at 18 years old in a maximum security prison, becoming victims of the sodomites there, who are allowed to practice their perversion, by the prison authorities that use sodomy as a vehicle of breaking the will of resistors. We have a brutal system in our prisons today, unfortunately, and of course we can give example after example where people have been either beaten or killed, and sometimes even beaten to death in our prisons, and nothing is ever done to the people who are guilty of that. Would you rather paddle a child, when they're growing up? Would you rather end up in our prison system that has well over 2 million people in it? More people per 100,000 than even communist China or any other nation in the world. This is a pretty poor commentary on what we believe to be a free nation. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. I'd like to know what you out there in the listening audience think about what Ed is trying to do. What do your children think about it? Because I know you really wrote this book for your children so that you could impart to them the way that you felt about how they should be growing up. And how long have you been away from your children on a regular basis?
Well, I get to see them about once a month for a few hours on the weekend. And I take every advantage I can to maintain communication. One of the reasons why I wrote the Stingy Bear book is I wanted to promote discussion between young people and their parents on a wide variety of pressing social issues. And also I wanted to write a book so that when parents shared the book with their kids, they wouldn't feel bored. So many of the children's books that I've run across in recent years are a cure for insomnia. And so many of the children's books have trite and mundane themes.
And so many of our children's books have frank pornography in them. In fact, I think I've forgotten which one of the major publishers hired one of the best-known pornographers to actually write these children's books with all sorts of sexually explicit symbology in them. Of course, the child won't recognize it, but it's indelibly implanted in their mind, and they're using our children's books to rape the mind of our children. They know exactly what they're doing. We're living in an evil world. So go ahead. And I'll tell you, this book is wholesome. I mean, the stories have a worthwhile message, sort of like Aesop's fables, something of eternal significance. So go ahead, Ed.
Well, that's just it. When I wrote this book, I wanted to motivate the young readers to think about the situations that are portrayed and how they would handle them. And so often I point out that Stingy Bear is intended as an example of how not to behave. And just try to get the young people to think about what's going on in a society that is changing very rapidly.
It's not changing by accident, it's changing by intent. I mean,
yeah. You
have to understand there really are people who hate America, who hate freedom, who hate children. And, of course, the best way to show your hatred for children is not to discipline them. If you love a child, you will discipline it. And, of course, going to the trouble to discipline a child shows, and taking the time to discipline a child, shows that you really care for them. And they know that, and you have to explain to them why they need to be disciplined, what they have done was wrong, why it's wrong to lie, why it's wrong to steal, why it's wrong to be selfish. All of these things have to be taught, for as I said earlier, you never have to teach a child to be bad. They are inherently bad. What you need to do is teach them to be good and kind and caring and respectful to you and to authority and positions, people in positions of authority. So, Ed, you know, certainly your children are how old now?
Well, my eldest daughter is 10, and the twins, a boy and a girl, just turned 9. And one of the things that I want to impart upon them is that they need to learn right from wrong now, because their parents aren't always going to be around to make important decisions for them regarding their actions. They need to start getting in the mindset of thinking about what is right and what is wrong. They need to start thinking about it now, not when they're teenagers, not when they're adults.
Well, I'm sure you've told all these stories to the children. Have they seen the book? What do they think about the book?
Oh, they're enthralled with it. And one of the things I did before I sent the manuscript into the publisher was I had my two daughters read the stories to me to make sure that I wasn't getting too advanced with the vocabulary or too abstract with the storyline. I wanted to get field test it first with my own children before I turned it loose on anyone else's kids.
And, of course, it's using the background of the story of this little bear, this stingy bear, this very selfish little stingy and self-centered little spoiled stingy bear. Of course, he's spoiled because of his mother. The father, of course, is the disciplinarian, the mother always pleading not to do anything, and I suspect this is the way it is in so many homes. Mothers want to protect their children, but sometimes those children have to face the consequences for what they've done. And they will either face them in the home, or they'll face them in society, or they're going to face them in prison, as they realize that suddenly they're in a situation where there's nothing they can do to protect themselves from horrible, horrible consequences. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. This is sort of a very unusual book. It's something I haven't seen before. Have you seen anything quite like this in the bookstores?
No, I that's one of the reasons why I decided to write this book, was because I became rather tired with typical children's literature, with messages like, well, share your toys, eat your vegetables. Well, that's all fine, but basically, I believe that our kids are intelligent enough to be presented with concepts that are a little bit more advanced than that. And I wanted to write a book that would encourage young people to think. And so, no, I haven't seen any books in the store that are in any way, shape, or form anything resemble Stingy Bear. Yeah.
We actually had that on our evening program. I asked her to come on this program as well, because first of all, my wife was enthralled with the book and with the interview, and second, because I think it's important that we have something we can give to our children and our grandchildren that will impart these basic ideas. So many of our children's books today are written not to, make our children better, but to corrupt their sense of values. And when they hire these professional pornographers to implant in their minds these sexual images, and you may not even pick them up if you don't understand what they're doing. But image implants is certainly one of the standard techniques that are used to mold our minds. In fact, it was Edward Bernays, the father of modern-day propaganda, who said, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes suggested, our ideas formed largely by men we have never heard of. And it starts in childhood. And that's why, of course, you have to feed good ideas into their minds, because remember, everything we hear or see or read is indelibly implanted in our subconscious. It will always be there. We may not even recognize it's there. We may have to call it up sometime in the distant future, but it is there. And there is a battle for the minds of our children. And we're losing it badly because we don't even understand there's a battle out there. We don't understand that our major publishing houses are really owned and controlled by people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. Our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question or comment, why, give us a call. And again, that web page, Ed?
The web page is www.stingybear.com. Stingy Bear is all one word, all lowercase letters. And, you know, I might point out, you know, with regard to the discipline of children and providing them with guidance and direction as they grow up, I firmly believe that young people become secure when their parents and their teachers provide them with behavioral limits and regulate their behavior with guidance. And, you know, you were talking about images in children's literature. There's hardly a year that goes by that a movie doesn't come out that's projected for children, and they don't find some sort of subliminal images of an adult nature within the production. And that's something that we as parents need to be eternally vigilant about as we review what our children watch and read.
In fact, we carry a set of DVDs or videos. It's called Sorcerers of the New Age, and it's certainly put out by Pastor Joe Schimmel. And he actually takes the records that are very, very popular in the past. He puts them on a turntable, and he puts the needle on, and he spins them backwards, and you hear the voice, I am Satan. I am Satan. Now, there's no way that human beings could have done that. They had to be implanted there supernaturally. There really are these demonic forces, and they're prowling the earth in search of the souls of men and women, but in search of also the souls of little children, because there's nothing they love more than to corrupt a child. And they're doing such a good job, and especially as they moderate this breakup of the family. At one time, the family was stable. People did not get divorced. Women realized it was important to have the stability of a father in the home. And then came the feminist movement, which is orchestrated by the CIA and Gloria Steinem and many others, of course, a similar ilk, who were working with the change agents of society. And, of course, they've systematically ended up destroying the family, the white family, even more so the black family, and see what's going on in America today. So I think that it's nice to have a book that just holds to traditional values. Is that really what you're trying to do, Ed?
Yes, it is. I really wanted to stick with the traditional nuclear family and try to address some of the contemporary issues that nuclear families have to confront in today's society. And as you pointed out, there's a globalist movement for the minds and the spirits of mankind, and we have to guard our children against it. We have to guard ourselves against it, and basically we have to get ready to deal with it, because it's not going away. It's present everywhere we look in our society.
No question of that. Well, again, I guess is Ed, and I have trouble pronouncing it, but it's Wisnant, is that right?
It's pronounced Wisnant.
Wisnant, okay. And, of course, his book, The Anthology of Stingy Bear's Adventures, and on the cover is a picture of a bear, and he's wearing a nice suit and coat and green tie, and he has a green coat on, and then he's got this bear head sticking out with of course, his mouth open. It certainly gets your attention. In fact, where did you get that cover? That is a fascinating attention grabber.
Well, when I was dealing with the publisher, they gave me a choice of probably several, probably 2,000 to 3,000 images for bears to use as a cover, because I didn't have enough money in producing this book to hire an artist, and so I had to use what the publisher had available. And after going through 2,000 to 3,000 pictures, the only semblance of a properly dressed bear in a sophisticated bear society that I could find was this picture that's on the cover. And I thought, well, that picture's appropriate. It reflects the sophistication and the formal and the formalization of the society that I'm trying to describe.
Well,
was glad to get that picture and use it for the cover of the Stingy Bear book.
I think you did a great job, Ed. Thank you very much for being with us. One more time, get your webpage out there.
Okay. Thank you for having me this afternoon, Dr. Stan. My webpage is www.stingybear.com.
God bless. Bye-bye. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, bath safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I have educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. And Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course we do hope that many of you out there will want to get Ed's book, and we have no interest in other than the fact we think it's an interesting book. And then, of course, we need to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We depend upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio and television and internet and satellite, and for reaching a lot of people. we need to reach more as quickly as we can. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, don't be bashful. You just call 1-800-544-8927, and you can certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford. Or you can simply subscribe to the newsletter, and if you'd like a free newsletter, we'll be glad to send you one if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. Now, I do want to mention that CRISPR's trying also to raise funds to republish Constance Cumby's excellent book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And you can get a case of her books for $149.95. We're going to add an index to it, which really transforms the book and makes it so much more useful. And we're going to, of course, have an update in it. But The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow by Constance Cumby transformed my life in the 1980s, and I began to understand the other dimension. There really is another. There's a spiritual dimension that motivates the feminists, that motivates the dark side of the CIA, that motivates the people who lead the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger's Club of Rome, the Rosicrucians, the Lucis Trust, the New Group of World Servers, the Theosophists, and the myriad of other secret and semi-secret societies, all working to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. Now, if you haven't read Constance's book, we still have copies, and you can get that through Radio Liberty. You can also get a four-tape set of my interviews with Constance Cumby, and you can get a video with Constance Cumby. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Or the video, the four tapes out, the book, or get them all together. And then I hope after you've read it, you'll want to give us a hand. And we need to get that book back in print, and we need to get it read far and wide. Back in the early 1980s, it had a profound impact on the Christian church. But that message has been forgotten, and many of our ministers are now getting drawn into this whole idea of experiencing Christianity, getting into meditation. You know, getting into yoga exercises, getting into the walking the labyrinth and focusing on candles and opening our minds for contemplative prayer, which is really opening our minds to demons. And the emerging church movement is leading many, many people to hell. There's a new video out, it's called The Secret, that tells you if you just look inside yourself, you're going to find the answer to the problems of mankind. Well, you're going to find problems, but not the problems of mankind. That's exactly what the serpent said in the Garden of Eden. It's all orchestrated by the same old serpent. You know, you can become as God, and that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to decide which side you're on. There's no place in between. You may not like all of God's edicts, but that's not up to you to judge the holy God who created the heavens and the earth. And I'm certainly not, you know, it's conceited enough to believe I'm in a position to judge the God who is able to create all of matter out of nothing, the God who's able to create, you know, the perfect order and harmony of society and all of the wonderful things that surround us. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I don't think that some of his edicts are fair. And I think we better obey him and look to him for leadership, because he's a lot smarter than anybody out there in my listening audience anyway. Well, we do hope many of you want to get the material put out by Constance Cumby, the video, the four-tape set, or her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And then I hope you'll seriously consider helping us, you know, get it reprinted. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, you want to get that as well. And we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour here at Radio Liberty.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please don't call unless we ask you to, because right now we have with us one of my favorite guests, and it's Carol Matriciana. And Carol is a television producer. She's been doing it for... How long have you been doing it, Carol?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Well, I'd give away my young age if I told you.
All right. We won't ask that.
But I have been in the visual media for, my gosh, over 30 years.
All right. Now, I want you to go ahead and tell us you're really concerned about a lot of the things that are happening, the new forms of yoga and these other Eastern mystical practices that you're so well acquainted with, because, of course, you recognize them when you lived in India there and fought in the latter days of the British occupation of India. So why don't you pick up the story and tell us what's going on today and why you are so concerned about what's happening.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I don't know if you remember, in the 80s, I wrote a bestseller book called Gods of the New Age.
I still have a copy.
And we made a documentary of the same title. We went to India. We interviewed the gurus, the bhagwans, the godmen, the mystics of various different ashrams and communities, asking them to explain Hinduism and the changing face of Hinduism in a way that they were now branching out to the Western world, that were coming over in the millions and the hundreds of thousands to rediscover or find the exotica of India. And usually yoga was something that within Hinduism, within Orthodox Hinduism, yoga is a preparation of the older disciple, the person that has finished being a parent, has finished being a grandparent, has retired, and is now preparing for death, preparing for reincarnation, preparing to clean out the bad karma of this life and prepare for a new reincarnation when their soul would go into a new body, because within Hinduism it is believed that our bodies are maya or an illusion, and that our souls are just here for the time being, but actually the soul is endless and it goes from body to body to body to body. And it doesn't really matter whether the body is human or animal or actually neither. So really the whole concept of reincarnation, Gandhi himself, President Gandhi, who was himself a God-man, guru, practicing yogi, said it is a hopeless cycle of imprisonment. Where one really can't get out and can't get out of. So here is the practice of yoga within Orthodox Hinduism in this state, but somehow in the 80s it got packaged, repackaged to the West as an exercise of life-giving, of improvement, of mental improvement, emotional improvement, spiritual well-being, and somehow got repackaged as a program for life, and now, two decades later, has completely integrated into not only the secular society at large, but also into the Christian church.
And of course,
so
then
my latest DVD on yoga uncoiled, going from east to west, is basically looking at the changes in the last two decades, and how it is changing, how it is coming into the church, what is the church. How is the church adapting it? How is yoga being accepted as only a physical exercise?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Carol Matriciana. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is certainly one of my favorite guests. It's Carol Matriciano, who's a DVD and film producer, and I guess in the early 80s she wrote a wonderful book called The Gods of the New Age, and there was a DVD that went with that, and it went into the fact that Hinduism is coming to America, and it is being brought to America not only by the Hindus, but by many of our ministers. And within the Christian church today is something called Christian yoga. Well, this, of course, is an ancient occult practice, but we've repackaged it to call Christian yoga, so that this is how we'll find God. The trouble is, what God are we going to find? And so you'd pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, yes, indeed. Having gone to India for the making of the first film, Gods of the New Age, where the Indian mystics and Hindus were very open about the roots of yoga, about the spiritual roots of yoga, about the Eastern roots of yoga. They were very open and honest about it. But as the Westerner started embracing yoga more and more, and as it became a sort of household word in our society, a lot of Westerners didn't want to embrace the idea of reincarnation, or that yoga was a preparation for death and reincarnation, but rather they wanted to sort of pick at what they felt were the good parts of yoga, the physical parts, separate it from its spiritual roots, and basically incorporate it into society. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how it has mushroomed into our society. I mean, it is, I think there are about anywhere between 70,000 yoga teachers in America, and some 20,000 locations across America. We teach approximately 40 million fitness fanatics, aging baby boomers, old age pensioners, young people, business people, senior citizens, pregnant women, and everybody is getting completely pulled into this, which is being promoted in hospital programs as an alternate medical therapy and claims to reduce blood pressure and benefit the heart. So here we have an Eastern spiritual technique embraced by American corporations, the American medical business, completely come into, for instance, in Walmart, in the website, Walmart's website, I think 900, almost 1,000 yoga products are advertised. And in Target website, there's over 4,000.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Carol Matriciano. And Carol is just simply saying that this yoga is being adopted by countless millions of Americans, and it's just a form of exercise. I mean, after all, the doctor says that exercise is good for you, and it is good for you, but not the yoga exercise, because you begin playing mind games, and of course the whole idea is to empty your mind and of course open it up to these forces that are going to help you to better prepare yourself for the next life. And of course, she's saying that in Walmart there, a 1,000 sites there where they sell different items for having to do with yoga.
Mm-hmm. There are over 990 yoga products on that site, and in Target there's almost 4,500. Just a very simple search on Amazon.com of yoga books brings up almost 2 million. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And Google.com. There were about 32 million yoga-related, ancient Hindu yoga philosophy-related products and instructions, and this has just become totally part of Western mainstream culture.
But
I did in the last 4 years is went back to India and asked Hindus and practicing yoga experts that, can we separate in the West, can we separate yoga and Hinduism? Can we separate the spiritual from the physical? And they say that the knowing separation of yoga from Hinduism is quite deceptive. I mean, these are head top people. Hinduism Today, which is a leading Indian publication, its managing editor said that Hinduism is the very soul of yoga, and based on Hindu scriptures and developed by Hindu sages, and that yoga opens up new and more refined states of mind, just as you were saying, Dr. Stan. And to understand them, one needs to believe in and understand the Hindu way of looking at God. And they were very concerned that it has become a big part of Christianity. And they, in fact, warn in Hinduism Today, a leading Indian publication, it warns that a Christian trying to adapt these practices will likely disrupt their own Christian beliefs. So when you've got Hindus that are concerned and admit that these are two distinct worldviews and that really they're quite offended that Christians can think that they can take out something rather like a recipe, take out the ingredients of Hinduism and keep it and adapt it to sort of a Christianized yoga, they take great offense. So it was it's been a very interesting film to make. It's so close to completion, and you are going to get your complimentary director's cut next week.
Right.
And I am just very, very excited about it. It's completely eye-opening and revolutionary.
Well, of course, the tragedy is that the average Christian does not understand that these forces have infiltrated the church, and that Christians are opening their mind, really, to demonic possession. Isn't that really what this is about?
This is exactly what it is. We are in a non-dualistic society. Dualism acknowledges the fact that there are two independent, huge powers and principalities that are functioning at the same time. And, of course, we understand one to be the biblical God, the creator of the universe, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And from a biblical perspective, this is a God of absolutes. He is a God that has put spiritual boundaries and boundaries around definitions of right and wrong, good and evil. And then you've got the contrasting supernatural power at work, if you will, that is Satan. The Bible describes him as Satan, the serpent of old, the serpent who deceives the whole world, the one who was able to deceive Eve herself, the most perfect, sinless human being, was beguiled by the snake and his mastermind techniques at twisting reasoning and twisting mental. So, are you there, Dr. Stan?
I certainly am. Go right ahead.
Okay. So here, you know, you've got this non-dualism. This non-dualism, this dualism that's taking place, and it is a battle of supernatural powers. And I had made a film a few years ago dealing with supernatural powers, the battle between good and evil, which explained the fight in the supernatural realms, that there was a God who created the angels, and a third of the angels decided to rebel against the God of the universe, and went their own way, and those are the fallen angels. And their absolute agenda is to infiltrate the minds of us human beings, to distort our thinking, to keep us away from the blessings of God, to keep us away from God's opinions of right and wrong, his reality of truth, his morality, and all these kind of things. And we find that we are being bombarded by the media, by the entertainment industry, to twist the minds of our children. Our schools are being bombarded. It's basically targeting our children. And when I look at even yoga that was very obviously rooted in Eastern mysticism, a few years ago, a few years ago, Harry Potter came into the schools, and Harry Potter was teaching child-friendly witchcraft. Now, the latest thing is that more than 100 schools in 26 states have adopted yoga education, and more than 300 physical education instructors have been trained in it, and the federal government gives grants to gym teachers who complete a teacher training course in yoga, and now our young children are being indoctrinated into a spiritual, Eastern spiritual practice in our schools, which would not permit us to pray and read the Bible and pray to a biblical God or a Christian God, and yet here they are bringing in yoga exercise as though it's mundane and neutral. They've taken out all the spiritual, the Hindu roots. Anything that they argue, anything that they feel that Christians would conflict with Christian teachings, they have adapted it, and here we have it in schools, using it in schools, and as though it's non-spiritual and able to be maintained in school with the separation of church and state. So it is just incredible to me as I make these movies where, you know, a few years ago, just talking about Harry Potter, the teaching of witchcraft coming into our schools, and now seeing that yoga is coming in our schools, and that, you know, that even scientific researchers find a correlation between yoga and the better behavior and grades of the young students, and so therefore this is the way it's being endorsed. And just practiced by young people.
And I think what's really so important is people have to understand that there are two dimensions in the world today. There is the material dimension that we live in, and there is the spiritual dimension. And there are people who already try to contact the other dimension. And these are the people who are the fortune tellers, the mediums, like the program we have on television about Alison Dubois, the medium, who is able to help the DA get the bad guys. The trouble is, there really was an Alison Dubois, and she really did work for the DA to help to get the bad guys. And she was in contact with the other dimension. And many people are getting in contact with the other dimension and finding that it's very fulfilling. You get all sorts of rewards, and you could really prosper. And, of course, you might become a rock star. You might be able to become a great composer, great music composer, but your ideas are coming from the demonic realm at the price of the eternal damnation. People don't understand this is not imaginary. It's real. It's been around since the Garden of Eden. The basis of Zoroastrianism and Manichaeism and Marcionism and of Gnosticism and of the Kabbalah, all of these things, of Masonry, Rosicrucianism, Theosophy. It is this dualism. There are two gods. There's the good God, and there is the bad God that Christians worship. And that is the most incredible idea. And yet, as that is how they look at it, and everything we think is good, they think is bad. Everything we think is bad, they think is good. And millions of Christians are coming to graces without ever understanding where the ideas come from.
It's incredible. And Dr. Stan, I think you have such a huge knowledge and grasp of this supernatural realm. And you know, the more I do my research in making these, in making the movies that I do, and just having to delve into research on the internet, what I find so amazing is, let's say 10 years ago, before the internet was so user-friendly, it was hard to find research. It was hard to get into the portals of that dark world, if you will, you know. But today, through the internet, it is so easy, and it is so dark, and it is so diabolical. I am just amazed from month to month at how much darker and perverted our world is becoming, and how easy it is for our youngsters, our children, well, they're not even children, they're youth, they're young 20-year-olds to get pulled into the dark world, and they don't realize that they're becoming addicted into more masochistic, more painful, shocking excitement, if you will, on the dark side. A couple of years ago, I made a film called Gods of Entertainment, which exposed a lot of the entertainment industry, and of course it was really a branching off Harry Potter, and then just looking at how our young kids are being indoctrinated through the media, through movies, how TV programs of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment as we carry this book, The Gods of Entertainment. Go right ahead, Carol.
Well, I was just explaining about the research, how in my field as a journalist, journalistic video maker, and having to go into research, I am just being taken through the internet into the dark caves and archives of places that one in the past would really have to seek out covens and dark, lurid behavior, which was very hard to find out. Now it's so easy and so accessible through the internet. There's one incredible site which talks about mutilation of the body, and it was sort of following my Gods of Entertainment movie, where through the internet and through media one was seeing how kids can just get into darker forms of entertainment, and from tattooing or piercing, you know, the old idea, the sort of idea of women having a couple of earrings has now gone into sort of body piercing in every area of the human body. I mean, far too lurid to even discuss over the air. But on the internet, you can go in and you can see fellow searchers of these absolutely self-destroying, self-mutilating things to do to one's body, as well as floating and hanging, putting hooks into your body and hanging from the ceiling. And some of these images we showed, some of these areas we just touched in with the education in Gods of Entertainment. But I am so aware that just in a year later or 2 years later, just being able to see how much more diabolical it's getting. And as the supernatural world takes over the mind of young kids who want more and more and more excitement, the excitement comes through self-destruction, through death cults in a way. There are people that search out getting AIDS. There are people that search out for fun, finding sexual partners to be able to get involved, to be able to catch AIDS. And there are people that, well, of course, in my Muslim film, Islam, Training Children to Kill, how you see young children involved in the death cult of Islam, where they brace themselves with genocide bombs to blow up the infidels and anybody that supports the Jews or the American or the Christian worldview. And what I'm just so shocked at, I think, is just how darker and darker and more diabolical it's getting. There's that side of it, but then Satan himself, who appears as an angel of light, is even more incredible, as he brings his light side of diabolical wickedness into the church and brings, for instance, Christian yoga, which is really part of the death cult, preparation for reincarnation, preparation for death to go into your next reincarnation cycle, all being cleaned up, packaged, and presented to the church as a fitness exercise, as an exercise that is being taught as part of YMCAs and YWCAs and physical education programs and adapted in health spas and wellness programs and part of relaxation techniques and presented as physical fitness on TV programs. And then you have yoga not only going into the Christian church and mainstream society, but then you have corporations.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back. Well, Carol is just simply saying how yoga is permeating every aspect of society, and corporations have incorporated this into sort of a wellness program. And of course, we see this, the church is advocating exercises, communal exercises, how it's being taught in our schools, how all of these yoga practices are being introduced without anyone realizing, of course, that in the process you alter your situation of your mind, you open your mind. And this is how, of course, in countries in the East, you open yourself to those mystical forces that transform our lives. People don't understand we're moving from a Christian to a pagan nation, and many times our churches are leading the way. In fact, I talked to, do you know who Joanna Michelson is?
Oh, she is well. I saw her about, last year indeed, we had dinner together, and she and her husband are doing really well, and she is, of course, a soldier in exposing the dark side, the beautiful side of evil in her blockbuster book of the same title.
Well, I happened to talk to her just this last week, and I asked her how things were coming, and she sort of groaned, and she said, so many of our evangelical ministers are down in San Diego this week, and they're being introduced to these various forms of contemplative prayer and altered prayer and altered states of consciousness and the emerging church and walking through labyrinths and focusing on candles and so they can experience God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you experience the demons. That's not how you experience God. God's message comes through His Word and not through trying to experience Him. And yet that is increasingly people are not satisfied with the simple message of Christianity. They want to experience God by physical activity and by changing their mindset and by opening their mind so they can have these mystical experiences. That's really what it's all about, isn't it, Carol?
Yes, it is. It's that we have consumed ourselves with the excitement of experience. And what is absolutely shocking is that we have this new Christian consciousness, just as Johanna said. It's completely entwined itself with basic Hindu yoga and practiced by Christians. And here we have Christian publishers now of Christian books, supposedly, where they've incorporated yoga movements and postures and breathing concentration and repetitive prayer. And they're all being presented as acceptable. And it's all wrapped up in Christian music and biblical verses and Bible names. But you get these Christian publishers who have renamed Eastern meditation techniques, calling them now contemplative prayer or centering or transformation into Christ. And in fact, Thomas Keating in his book Open Mind, Open Heart says this basic core of goodness is capable of unlimited development, indeed of becoming transformed into Christ and deified in us. I mean, this is just amazing when we've got leading Christian publishers who are promoting numerous books on yoga for Christians and blending all these Eastern breath techniques and Eastern meditative techniques, prayer techniques and improvement for concentrated prayer life, etc., and wrapping them up in Christianese and telling us that we can empower. It is just terrifying what's happening and how they're ignoring the psychological and spiritual dangers associated with all this expanding awareness.
And of course what they've done is they've targeted the Christian population. We will find these books in all sorts of Christian bookstores. I mean, you might expect it in the Christian section at Barnes & Noble or some of the other Borders and things like that. But to find them in Christian bookstores or bookstores that profess to be Christian, but then if you wanted to destroy Christianity, would you attack it from without or would you infiltrate it from within like termites?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they've done. And many of our Christian bookstores, so-called Christian bookstores, are pushing this sort of books to corrupt the very essence, the very foundation of the Christian practice of what's made America the envy of the world.
It is. It's absolutely amazing, and especially when you get Indian sages and Indian Hindus basically saying that Hinduism is just not like a recipe ingredient that can be extracted. You know, they just, you can't do this, and they are offended by the way that we are integrating, how Christians are integrating their religion into Christianese. I mean, they are just as possessive of trying to keep Hinduism and Eastern mysticism orthodox in this multicultural society that we're in. So there's a very interesting controversy coming up. In fact, recently Time magazine even brought it up that you've got the Orthodox Hindus who are offended by Christians taking the stretching for Jesus exercises, and then you've got the Christians that are offended that
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Carol Matriciano, and of course we're talking about how yoga and many of the other occult practices of Eastern mysticism have now become commonplace within our society, not only within our society, but within the Christian church. And many times the churches will put on these programs to lure people into these mystical programs, which are the antithesis of Christianity. So you pick up the story there, Carol.
Well, I have I'm in the completing stages of my latest DVD called Yoga Uncoiled from East to West, and it's taken me about 4 years going to India, interviewing various different experts on Hinduism, and looking at the roots of Hinduism. Now, in India, their gods, Shiva, Shakti, Rama, Krishna, all these gods have got a snake wrapped around their neck, their head over them. They're under the blessing of the snake. The snake is believed within Hinduism and Orthodox yoga. The snake is believed to lie coiled at the base of the person's spine and can only be awakened through yoga. And the snake's power is then pushed up through the spine, up through the psychic centers. There are six psychic centers, to get to the top of the head, between the eyes, to the third eye, and to be able to give the practitioner this experience of uniting with God consciousness, with the Hindu god Brahman, the idea being that creator and creation is one and the same, that there is fusion if only we can get beyond our ignorance and connect into this God consciousness, which we can do, which they believe can be done through the exercises and disciplines of yoga.
And
so yoga posture is embracing a Hindu deity, and mainly the snake, the cobra. And in all the religions, most religions accept that the snake is a god of wisdom and knowledge and powerful. It's only in the Bible that the snake is described as God's arch enemy, as the arch enemy of man, as that wicked serpent of old, that dragon who is out to deceive the whole world and trying to con humankind to follow him and not their creator. So here we see in this DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, the two worldviews are just wonderfully and easily...
Hold that thought there, Carol. We'll be right back. Well, Carol was just talking about her new DVD, and we're going to be getting it the first of the week, and we'll be ordering it, and we'll have it available for you, Yoga Uncoiled. And basically, what we're seeing is the two worldviews, the Christian worldview, which is, of course, Ebbing, and, of course, the pagan worldview. This idea that we can become as gods, that we can communicate with God, we can become God, we can find God within us, and, of course, this is the basis of the pagan Hindu beliefs, so many of the pagan beliefs. It's not simply the Hindu, but many of the other beliefs, and certainly the beliefs of the New Age and the beliefs of Masonry, when you get the upper echelons of Masonry and Theosophy and Rosicrucianism, we can become as God. And that was, of course, the message from the Garden of Eden, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the same old lie, the same old serpent wrapped up in his same old theology. Nothing's different. But what is amazing is how we in the Christian church are becoming so deceived that we're embracing this. If it could just be dark and relegated to the dark alleys of dark cultures, that would be one thing. But it's being polished and cleaned up and spruced up and presented in our glittering stores and in our communities and in our churches. And
In fact, one of the clips that I've got in the new DVD, Yoga Uncoiled, is a saying from India's Vishva Hindu Parishad, who is the world's largest missionary organization, and it launched this really ambitious missionary effort in 1979 in Allahabad, India, where millions came to the Second World Congress on Hinduism, attended by about 60,000 delegates from around the world. And one of the speakers said, this is in just pre-80s. You can imagine now, 40 years later, where we've come. But they said, our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near. Now, since the 80s, to the 90s, to the millennium, we see that indeed, here it is, in our churches, wrapped up in Christian terminology, with Christian publishers promoting it with Christian names, the emergent church, the Rick Warren purpose-driven movement, all of these things just getting us to focus in and contemplative prayer and experience and merging with the goodness, if you will, out there, which is, of course, the lie of the New Age movement. But the change is so quick. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, this is why we're living in...
The difference, really, I mean, I remember when I came from my flirtation, even though I grew up in India and knew what the Eastern mysticism, how decadent and dark and destructive it was, when I came to the West, I got seduced by the repackaging, the scientific repackaging of Eastern mysticism. And I remember quite some time after, when I was involved in the depths of despair, someone came to me and told me about the Bible. And, you know, just one night of being immersed in answers from the Bible, the Word of God, the absolute truth, completely turned my worldview upside down, and that's the difference. And Mahatma Gandhi, who is an Indian yogi and Hindu philosopher, he was greatly influenced by the Bible, and he said a poignant accusation and remark to the Christians. He said, you Christians, look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it was nothing more than a piece of literature.
So well said. You know, someone once said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and failed. It just hasn't been tried. And this is the tragedy, because within our church today, some of our leading church leaders, and I will not name them, but I certainly you only have to go to their websites and see how they're talking about the emerging churches, contemplative prayer, this experiencing Christianity, experiencing God. Oh, isn't it wonderful to experience God, to find these new means of communicating with Him, and these new means of playing mind games so that we can contact God. Well, of course, what you're doing is you're contacting a God, but which God are you contemplating? Are you contacting? This is what people do not understand. There really is another dimension. There really is are beings there that you can come into contact with. But of course, are they the God of the Bible? Or are they demonic spirits who represent the dark side? Not imaginary,
well,
very real.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, Google right ahead.
And if they're not only focusing, I mean, they're not only coming from the dark side, they come when Christians call the names of Jesus and the names of Christian deities and Christian names. And, you know, they think that just because they're calling on Bible verses and wrapping up these techniques, Eastern mystical techniques in biblical terminology, that the spirit, the angel of light, is coming in and deceiving them as representing the angel of light. And I think people don't understand that in the Bible, Paul called Satan himself not only the dark side, which of course Jesus very openly called Satan the father of lies and Lucifer and Beelzebub, but Paul
told us also that he comes as an angel of light with deceptive teachings and comes to corrupt and deceive members in the church, in the body. And that's what we see today. The apostasy is rampant. And because people aren't being noble-minded like the Bereans in Acts 17, where they tested everything that Paul said against the scriptures, if we do not test experiences or feel-good feelings or whatever it is, if we do not test all this against the scriptures, as we're told to do, we're told to test the spirit, then we will be conned and corrupted, and our theology and our worldview will become polluted and distorted. And so our very measuring stick, our very measuring yard, our yardstick is the Bible, and we have to compare everything against it. But then you get Christians today that are going into more and more diluted Bibles, more and more dilute Bibles that have been changed, because Bibles can be reprinted. If they've got 10% of change in them, they can be reprinted. So we have got Bibles that are being reprinted, being sort of the opinions of man in these sort of living distortions of the Bible, sort of as though we're so childish that we can't understand and can't have the meat of the Gospels. We're being handed this dirty milk. And I remember when I was growing up in India, the milkman, who only had a cow or two, if he got more clients and customers, the way that he would spread the milk around was by adding more water to it. So in the end, we got this sort of milky, this white substance that looked like milk, but it didn't taste like milk. And that is what's happening to our word today. We are just getting more and more Bible versions that are becoming distorted and polluted and thinned out. And then we as soldiers, as Christian warriors, have plastic swords. And our ammunition is too weak to fight the supernatural world, because we haven't got the living word of God that can cut quicker than any two-edged sword. We don't know the scriptures well enough, and many Christians just do not know the scriptures. So what I've tried to do in my latest yoga DVD is to compare Eastern mysticism, the two worldviews, with biblical explanations to try and help the Christian to become more discerning in these times of great apostasy and great deception within the church.
Amen to that. Well, before we go on, Carol, I want to give you an opportunity to get your webpage out and help people get in touch with you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. They can just come into www.caryl.com. And, of course, I spell my name in a different way, C-A-R-Y-L. So it's just Caryl TV, short for television, .com. CARYLTV.com.
All right, fine. And what will the new DVD cost? Will it be both VHS and DVD, or just DVD?
It's no, I'm not doing VHS anymore. In fact, my replicators and duplicators just don't do this. That type of machinery has gone out where Tupperware lids and socks go out there into the universe somewhere.
All right, fine.
So it's only available on DVD, and it's going to be $19.95, and there's bonus footage in it. And I'm very, very excited about it. I can't wait to hear your feedback next week after you get it.
Well, I can hardly wait to see it. So certainly our guest is Carol Matriciano. And give me the exact title.
Yoga Uncoiled.
Yoga Uncoiled.
From East to West.
And we will have it. And if you want to order it while you certainly can, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We carry a number of Carol's DVDs and videos. We will get rid of the VHSs, and then of course we'll be all into DVDs, but right now we still have a number of the things she's done on VHS. So if you have a VHS recorder, you may be able to get some of the things that she's done in the past. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And remember, of course, the Yoga Uncoiled will not be available. We'll have it probably in about 2 weeks. So if you do order it today, you're going to have to wait a little bit until We get our supply in, but we will be carrying it. Because we try to carry everything Carol does. We think she's one of the finest producers we have. And certainly, there's nobody who understands Eastern mysticism better than she does. This Eastern mysticism that is infiltrating the Christian church today and being brought in many instances, by ministers who, of course, are trying to find a more effective means to bring about this personal experience with God. Well, this is not necessarily the sort of experience that we want to have, because unless we understand that there is another dimension, and in many instances we're opening ourselves up to demonic forces, why, and we are not fully schooled in the Word of God, which we're not getting taught in the churches today very much. We're getting more of this sort of feel-good music and feel-good gospel, but we're not studying the Word of God as we need to, so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Well, certainly, you know, I just hope that this DVD can have a tremendous impact on people across America. And certainly, you must have made this because you see what's happening at the church, and you're out there sort of shouting the warning to people, aren't you?
Yes, and really concerned, because I've just watched it grow more and more in the church. You think that with the warning signs of gods of the New Age some years ago, and with all the great people that are out, who are coming out of Eastern mysticism and the New Age, who are warning people, you'd think that this would alert practitioners. But no, indeed not. We have got more and more Christian yoga in the church now than ever before, endorsed by pastors, endorsed by practitioners and teachers. In fact, there is a teachers' union, a Christian yoga teachers' organization. It is just incredible. And they defend it, and the purpose of this film is to help Christians see the difference between the two worldviews, and that they cannot be compromised.
Do you ever...
Even the Indians, even Hindus say that.
Do you ever have a feeling that we live in a world gone mad and there's just a few of us who are still sane?
Just you and me, Dr. Stan.
No, we have a lot of our listeners that have an awareness of what's going on, but we're certainly in a minority today. And when people warn about this, why, people say this could not be going on. The church could not be infiltrated. Why, we love the new music. We love the new message. We love the entertainment. We love the little groups. We love our church. And, of course, the difficulty is that the church, many, and of course all the new wonderful translations of the Bible, but how can you have, you know, 20 different translations of the Bible and believe that any of them are the Word of God? If they're all different, how can they be the Word of God? And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
They played games with our minds.
Yeah. It's, well, I think one of the first things I learned when I became a Christian, and I thank God so much for it, was from a senior colonel in the American military, who talked about the enemy and how important it was to know your enemy. And so what he did was he got the names of Satan, Lucifer, the father of lies, the god of confusion, the author of confusion, the doubter, the accuser of the brethren. He got all the names of Satan down, the destroyer, the death warrior, the one who wants to steal, destroy, kill, and all these names. And I have just been so grateful so that I can see who the enemy is, be able to detect the enemy. And then, of course, you have the names of God and of God, which is quite different, and that we can totally rely on for our strength, our fortress, our buttress in this battle, this supernatural battle that we are all entrenched in, whether we want to believe it or not.
And I think that is really so important. We are involved in a spiritual battle, a supernatural battle, for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And most Christians don't even recognize there's a battle going on.
No.
But the other side does, and the primary target is the Christian church and the Christian gospel. And confusing, and that's when we may see some of the, companies like Zondervan, supposedly a Christian nation, it's run by Christian, by Rupert Murdoch, one of the leaders of this whole world movement. And he is publishing Christian books, and you want to be awfully careful. When he is pushing and publishing Christian books that will sell 10 million or 20 million or 30 million copies, that the message he's getting out is not the message of the gospel, but the message from the other dimension.
Yes, a very narrow message will not sell huge amounts of books. So the middle group of people is just the apostasy. The Bible calls them the apostates, the ones that are going to fall away. And we just watch Christians falling away from the Bible, falling away from the truth, being deceived by doctrines of demons because it feels good. And it's a tragedy.
And because we're told that in the latter days, before the man of perdition is revealed, there'll be a great falling away, a great apostasy. I believe in all my heart that's what we're seeing now. Our guest today has been Carol Matriciana. Her new DVD is Yoga Uncoiled, and of course with all of her DVDs. We haven't seen this one, but I'm sure it'll be excellent. We do have her DVDs on Harry Potter and the supernatural, and certainly the gods of entertainment. Go up to our website and look at the items we have, or go to Carol's website, caroltv.com. Understand, you need the weapons to be able to discuss these issues intelligently, and to be wary lest you, too, be led away into perdition. Well, Carol, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program for us.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Stan, I thought you had done such a wonderful job in wrapping it up. I pray for everybody that listens to your show that their hearts and spirits right now would become alert, that their ears would be open, their eyes open to see the deception, the cloak, the mask, that what the God of confusion, the veil that he puts out to draw us away from the blessings of God. The richness of God. And of course his target is the church body. Christ is the head of the church body, and his target is to destroy the body of Christ. He thought he did it once before on the cross, and he's out to do it again, the resurrected body, the believers, the church, and that's his target. And church, wake up so that we don't become the apostates, but that we are witnesses for the Lord in these last days.
And people have to understand that things are going to get a lot worse. And people are not going to understand that everybody's going to think that things are going to be getting better. And of course, there are more and more people who are coming into the churches. But there are more and more people who are coming into the churches who are not Christians, who are coming in because they want entertainment, because they're coming in for feeling. They're coming for experience. They want to experience God. And that's not how you come to a personal relationship with God.
No, not at all. Not through experience, certainly. The Bible, Jeremiah 17, says that our hearts are deceptively wicked and there's no good thing in us. So how can we rely on our experiences to bring us to Christ?
Amen.
No, only the Word of God.
And remember, of course, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I really think that that's what we have to do. We have to stand, and we have to stand for righteousness. We have to be willing to accept ridicule and attacks and viciousness and perhaps even suffering and martyrdom. But we are called, of course, to stand for righteousness under all circumstances and not to compromise. Our guest has been Carol Matriciana, certainly one of my favorite guests. And Carol, I'm really looking forward so much to seeing the film you're going to send us next week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much for the work you do, and it's always such a privilege to be with you. Thank you.
God bless you, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was Carol Matriciana. Hope you enjoyed having her on as much as I enjoy having her with us. So we're going to be back here in just a moment. And to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because we need your help to continue having the outreach we do, and hopefully down the line to expand again, but right now we just want to maintain what we have, and with your help and with God's blessing, we hope that we will. Anyway, remember, the big money's all on the other side. We don't have any major benefactors. We just got a lot of little people out there who love the Lord and who believe that we have a message that's important. And what's our message? Why, we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really is another dimension. And there really are secret societies. And there really are demons that are working within society today. Of course, prowling and hoping, searching for the souls of men. And believe me, they're catching an awful lot of them. So we have an awful lot of Carol's work. We have many of her DVDs. If you have the opportunity, go to her website. Go to our website and simply look under Matriciana, and you'll find the list of all of the various DVDs we carry of Carol's. And, of course, you can order them through us, or you can certainly go to her website, caroltv.org, and order them. But get this material and then help us disseminate it across America. These DVDs, of course, can be used over and over again, and they will touch people's hearts and influence them. So understand, you know, this is an excellent way of reaching people, and of course we increasingly trying to use this vehicle by which you can get the message out. You'll find many of my DVDs and videos up on the web. Sometimes people are putting them up there without our consent, but we're not going to object to it. We're selling ideas. You'll find Brotherhood of Darkness up there. You'll find Dr. Ayoub's excellent video on how they're poisoning our children knowingly with mercury in the vaccines. And they tell you they've taken it out of childhood vaccines, and don't you believe it. They're giving it to pregnant women, their influenza vaccine loaded with mercury, and to six-month-old children. Well, we took it out of childhood vaccine. No, you didn't. You took it out of the childhood disease vaccine, not out of childhood vaccine. You're still giving it to children. Why? Because that's how you destroy their minds. How could anything be that evil? Because we're dealing with wicked people. And when you understand we've killed, here in America, almost 50 million children, go, when was the last time on television you saw the picture of the dismembered child there? The hands that had been dismembered, the heads and the eyes that had been gouged out. Understand that they refused to sell those pictures. Refused to sell time to pro-life people who want to put those pictures onto television. If you have freedom of the press, it means that if you control the media, if you control the press, you control what the people can see. And you cannot go to the average television program and station anywhere in America and put on a regular basis pictures of dismembered children from the victims of abortion. Why? Because the people who control the media are the people who push abortion and want to hurt children, which is why you're not hearing about the damage done by the vaccines. One in every 150 children is autistic. In New Jersey, one in 100. And since it's more common in boys, probably one in 40 or 50 boys. And they claim they don't know why they're autistic. Of course they do. They know exactly why. We've read the CDC reports. And if you want to document it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll tell you where you can get the information. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know that they know that they're harming our children. So, ladies and gentlemen, please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the material we're putting out by Constance Cumby. Her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, are four tapes set with Constance, a VHS with Constance. We have a four tape set. We have a VHS over talk. Get the information and help to get it out across America. And please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Yeah.
you're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Radio Network, I'm John Russell. The attacks persist in and around the Iraqi capital, claiming at least 15 lives today. With more, here's correspondent Robert Reed.
A string of early morning bombings has rattled the Baghdad area as insurgents step up their attacks despite the Baghdad security crackdown. The blasts included a suicide bombing on a public bus, a roadside bomb against a police patrol, and another bomb in a commercial area just south of the city. All the targets were in Shiite areas.
Correspondent Mark Stevenson reports that the Mexican government says it's expanding its anti-drug moves in some areas right across the border from Texas.
The administration has decided to send thousands of federal police to the northern border, mostly to the Texas border, to start fighting back against this wave of drug-fueled executions, turf battles between drug gangs, and general